Hi, friends. If I could ask you a favor, go to MyPillow.com and put in the code word Kate. Mike Lindell and I have partnered up not only to bring you fantastic products, but he's also helping this show. You're going to get wonderful products when you put in the code Kate, K-A-T-E. You're going to get 30% off on the products. They have specials all the time. But these, I'm not wowed easy, but these products are amazing, I have to say. The sheets, the towels, the robes, the slippers, everything. Completely amazing. You're going to love it. The phone number is 1-800-873-1052 or go to MyPillow.com and simply put in the code word Kate. Thanks, you guys.
Lots of nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm a scientist and by all accounts, a health and fitness nut. So I was looking for something that I thought might give me just a little bit more edge. And I've tried many things and I'm very strict in terms of my diet, my exercise, my lifestyle. I'm pleasantly surprised, I must admit. I typically in the winter times have respiratory issues or colds, and this is the longest period I can remember where I haven't had one. My body is experiencing something that it's never had, and then knowing that the change is because I took Balance of Nature, and it's worth the money. That's all I can say. It's worth the money.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Think while it's still legal. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Have you ever heard of some fellas who first came over to this country? You know what they found? They found a howling wilderness. The summer's too hot and winter's freezing. Did they have insurance for their old age, for their crops, for their homes? They did not. They looked at the land and the forests and the rivers. They looked at their wives, their kids, and their houses. And then they looked up at the sky and they said, "Thanks, God. We'll take it from here."
Welcome, Kate Daly Show, on a Friday, no less. See how much closer to the weekend you are. That wasn't so bad, right? We got through the week. So I actually want to, well, first of all, Alison Armstrong joins me in the following hour, next hour, talking about relationships, anything to get away from the news cycle for sure. And of course, I want to just tell you a couple of headlines because it kind of goes along with what we're going to be talking about in this hour. But in this hour, I'd like to look at the generations. I'd like to, there was a book called Generations of America's Future that was written by Strauss and Howe in the early 90s. And this book was interesting because it did, and I said this on a previous show, I think it was last week, it did talk about the crisis of 2020, how they predicted this. And the book was written in the early 90s. They said the crisis of 2020 would transform America. Either for the worse or for the better. We'll see. So they pegged that right. And I want to bring up how they talked about the different generations and the generational like cycles. Okay. So I want to talk about that. And I also want to mention just a couple of things. Number one, CNN claiming that climate change will now be their next fear-driven calling, I guess you want. They think of it as a calling. It was get rid of Trump, and then it was COVID, and now it's going to be climate change. They're going to adjust to climate change now. And so you're going to be hearing about it nonstop. You're going to see ice melting, probably that one sick polar bear that they love the picture of, that one sick polar bear they put on Time magazine. Everybody later found out it was diseased. But anyway, that they're going to try. And if you want fear porn, CNN's your gal. Okay. So I wanted to mention that. I also wanted to mention the fact that today they announced that airports are stepping up mental health for passengers with anxiety. You heard me. When you fly, you need mental help because of anxiety. Thank you, CNN. Your fear porn has worked. Also, restaurants are trying to deal with customers and teaching them how to breathe properly and how to deal with breathing inside their restaurants. Crypto is having some issues. And, you know, I have to say this. Chris Ann Hall, who is a regular on the show, put up a wonderful post, and the post was about fear. And it said, "Fear is the tool throughout history for every infringement on the rights of the people." Fear is the tool throughout history for every infringement on the rights of the people. It is the argument of tyrants and dictators. It is the excuse of slaves. And she's right. It is the excuse of slaves to go along with it, right? Fear is the tool. They can't do anything without fear. And we've been completely fear-driven. So I want to play this for you. This was from a listener. I absolutely love this. And the beginning part of this is the hopeless speech from Band of Brothers, where the GI is talking to the commanding officer, and the commanding officer has something to say to him about fear. And then in hope. And then you're going to hear some veterans talk about their experience. So I want to play this for you. It's about 3 minutes. Here we go.
Lieutenant. Sir, when I landed on D-Day, I found myself in a ditch all by myself. I fell asleep. I think it was air sickness pills they gave us. When I woke up, I didn't really try to find my unit to fight. I just kind of stayed put.
What's your name, Trooper?
Blythe, sir. Albert Blythe.
You know why you hid in that ditch, Blythe?
I was scared.
We're all scared. You hid in that ditch because you think there's still hope. But Blythe, the only hope you have is to accept the fact that you're already dead. And the sooner you accept that, the sooner you'll be able to function as a soldier's supposed to function. Without mercy, without compassion, without remorse. All war depends upon it.
Interesting speech. Here you go. Here's some veterans.
A very unusual feeling. It's a very unusual happening. And it's a very unusual bonding.
We knew that we could depend on each other. And so we were a close-knit group.
Just brave. So brave is unbelievable. And I don't know anybody that I admire more than Bill Garnier and Joe Toy. And they were very, very special.
I'm just one part of the big war, that's all. One little part. And I'm proud to be a part of it. Sometimes it makes me cry.
The real men, the real heroes, are the fellows that are still buried over there and those that come home to be buried.
Seemed like you figured that you thought that you could do just about anything. And after the war was over and you came back out, why, you lost a lot of that. Or at least I did. I lost all that confidence.
We just hoping to stay alive, that's all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Henry V was talking to his men. He said, from this day to the ending of the world, we in it shall be remembered. We lucky few, we band of brothers. For he who today sheds his blood with me shall be my brother.
I cherish the memories of a question my grandson asked me the other day when he said, Grandpa, were you a hero in the war? Grandpa said no. But I served in a company of heroes.
All right. I served in the company of heroes is what he said. I look back, we all look back on the things that they had to go through then. And we look at what a 17-year-old was like then and an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old. And we look at now, what our 18, 19-year-olds look like now. The trials they faced then made them into the people that they became, obviously. Their situations were much different. And they had to face things and go into things, even if they didn't want to. They had to suck it up and do what they needed to do in battle. And they drew close to one another and had a love for each other for getting through the experience together. Anytime you go through a traumatic experience together, it's going to bond you. And those experiences were certainly extremely traumatic, right? These guys had just graduated high school. And you think, how in the world did they display that kind of courage to do that? But at the time, that generation, it was something that they just did. And I look at our generation now, and we might compare and we might say, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Look at the amount of people that ran in fear this year. And there wasn't any evidence of everyone dying around them. And look at the way we responded to that. What can we learn from that? What can we say to ourselves? Wait, now wait a minute. Our generation ran around with masks on, masks in the car, masks while walking outside. What in the world are we doing? To watch the courage of those in battle, just like these guys were talking about in battle, and then and even Vietnam and even Korea and even all of the other ones that they went through. And then to look at now, there's a difference. 888-673-1450. There's a very, very clear difference. What do you think the difference is? How do we get to a point where we're running around in fear? How do we get to a point where no one's questioning anymore? No one's asking questions. No one's the least bit curious as to why we're doing what we're doing. How did we get here? That's what I'm asking. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, so that montage you just played got me thinking about something.
Okay.
Though those men had a hard time seeing themselves as heroes.
Yes.
And it's amazing the difference today. People think that all these people just doing their jobs are heroes.
Yeah, you're right.
The terms have changed. I respect and all the different kind of jobs and medical field, garbage man, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't consider doing your job being a hero.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for saying that. You're right. Thank you. You're exactly right, caller. You're exactly right. Doing your job and getting paid for it, that's not a hero. That can't be a hero, especially when you know people aren't around you falling dead. I'm sorry. I can't jump on the hero thing either. Not right now. We have the greatest country on earth. The greatest country on earth. We ended slavery that had been going on for centuries. We have a constitution that's amazing. We have the American spirit, which is amazing. Capitalism, which is incredible. We have the most wonderful gifts, yet we have to make sure that this generation gets a little stronger, does a little more fighting and not cowering. When do we turn into the coward? The people that don't say anything, don't do anything. We don't want to be uncomfortable. That's what it is. It's uncomfortable. We might have to adjust our life a little bit. We might have to do things a little bit differently, right? Then on top of that, we're afraid that if we do that, we don't have enough faith in God that he'll provide the miracles when we do what's right, when we do the things like standing up against the tyranny. CNN admitted that they thrive on fear. The next fear will be climate change. Once COVID fatigue has finally hit. That's what they're paid to do is fear, is to make you afraid of everything. When are we not going to be afraid of everything? When are we going to get a backbone, a spine, courage? It's hard to come by. Why is it hard to come by? Is it because we're afraid our life might be altered a little uncomfortable? Maybe. Why are we so afraid of that? I'm going to come right back. I want to talk a little bit about the generations. And this might intrigue you to find out about your generation. I'm going to be talking about your generation, however old you are. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Guys, don't.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
God is great. Beer is good. People are crazy.
Kate Daly Show. People are crazy, Billy Currington. So I just wanted to mention, get over to MyPillow.com. Mother's Day is fast approaching, and this will be great gifts. Anything from a robe, those luxurious robes, to the best slippers I've ever had on my feet, to it's like walking on pillows. I love it. And also the sheets that are amazing, 2-for-1, and of course, the MyPillow. So there's so many variations of MyPillow, and you can go to MyPillow.com. They don't sell them in the stores. And make sure that you're picking up a MyPillow. Also, the blue one and the green one, mostly the blue one, can help with snoring. Holds your head level, and it's amazing, amazing pillow. So go there and put in the code Kate. Go to MyPillow.com, put in the code Kate, and it will help the show as well. 30% off, and you'll get all those discounts and savings. And then, of course, go to frankspeech.com as well. Lindell TV as well. Lindell TV, Mike's doing some wonderful things with the movies he's putting out on the election fraud. And also just making sure you realize that Frank Speech is up and running, and this is the new Facebook. And so make sure it's censor free. And so I'm in Facebook jail right now for a week. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So there you go. I'm in Facebook jail off and on all the time. I love Facebook jail. It's awesome when a plastic man who claims he invented Facebook gets to do this to me. Censor my free speech. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, so I want to move on just a little bit for just a moment, because I want to talk about generations. I thought this was really kind of fascinating. The book Generations of America's Future was done by Strauss and Howe, the same authors of The Fourth Turning. But they wrote this book before The Fourth Turning. And they talk about cycles a lot. That was their study, was cycles. And they said this about 2020, and I've said this before in the show, but I just want to repeat these couple of sentences. They said, because of looking at cycles from the Puritans, 1500s, all the way until 2069, they said that no one, for example, can foretell the specific emergency that will confront America during what we call the crisis of 2020. Now, keep in mind, they wrote this in the early 90s. They wrote it in the early 90s, okay? And it says, nor, of course, the exact year of which this crisis will find its epicenter, but we do claim our cycle can predict, is that during the late 2010s or early 2020s, American generations will pass deep into crisis era and constellation and mood, and that as a consequence, the nation's public health, public life, I'm sorry, ooh, public, that was a Freudian, public life will undergo, our public life, isn't this interesting, will undergo a swift and possible revolutionary transformation. So they did, they talked about cycles, and they said that they went through the centuries, and they went through the outlines of our generational, what they called saga, began emerging. And they had a life cycle approach to history, and it was revealed with this reoccurring pattern through American history. And they said 3 or 4 decades ago, we knew we could do something, but we worried we could no longer feel anything. Let me say that again. They said 3 or 4 decades ago, we knew we could do everything, but worried we could no longer feel anything. Today, it's in reverse. We feel everything, but don't do anything. Very strange. And they're right. And they said, it's nothing new. He's recall the America on the eve of World War I. And they said, you know, political corruption threatened to wipe all decency off the continent at the time. Or America around 1850, building moral confidence, but helpless in the face of sectionalism, right? That would trigger war. And, or the colonies in the early 1750s, rejuvenated with spirit, but reeling from some of the stuff that was going on then. Some violence, some mobs, okay? They said, look, there are 4 different eras. The awakening era, the inner-driven era, the crisis era, and the outer-driven. And each one represents different, the unique combination of different generational types at each stage in life. So you have young and then middle, and then you have your growing older, and then, which is part of mine, and then you have, those that are late in life, okay? And they said, when Americans talk of generations, they like to associate them with hopes for progress. And they said the American dream with that successive generation will fare better over time. But they wanted to, when they broke down the different generations, let me give you kind of a little taste of this. Because they said every cycle offers hope, because it is cyclical, it will keep you know, going through its cycle. So where we think, you know, we can be kind of apocalyptic, which we all know if you study scripture, you know how the story ends, of course. Not diminishing that, knowing that there are going to be things that happen. But they also said, be aware of the cycle. So they said the GI generation was born 1901 to 1924. We typically don't have very many left from the GI generation. Born 1901, 1924. They went through the Great Depression, World War II, okay? I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about that generation. We don't have too many of them left. But these were the ones, the men's men, who were known how to get things done, whatever they accomplished, whether organizing big bands, swarming ashore in Normandy, you know, making Bible epic movies. They seemed to do it big. They did it together, okay? A common virtue. Then we had the silent generation, 1925 to 1942, if you were born in those years. You're the silent generation. This was a World War II crisis in the youth boom awakening in midlife. The family tree, your parents, you know, your parents were the lost generation and the GI generation. And your children will be boomers and the 13th, which is my generation, and typical grandchildren will be millennial. The silent generation, born 25 to 42, okay, these people didn't especially like, but they knew it fit with the name silent. We had no leaders, no program, no sense of our own power, no culture exclusively our own. Our clothing, manners, and lifestyle were unoriginal, scaled-down versions of what we saw in adults. They said we had a generation with strongly middle-aged values. They didn't see GIs. Instead, they saw date and mate romantics of Peggy Sue got married, right? A little bit of that. And of course, older generations first knew them as Shirley Temple and Jerry Lewis and Ralph Nader, all of these types of people. Younger generations met them as Elvis Presley, Bob Dylan. And the silent professionals account for the 1960s surge in the helping professions like teaching, medicine, ministry, government. The silent generation produced virtually every major figure in the modern civil rights movement, from Martin Luther King to Malcolm X, right? They are the earliest marrying, earliest baby generation in American history. Men married at an average age of 23, women at 20. Most fertile of the 20th century, maybe because the abortion, the abomination of abortion didn't kick in, you know, clear back then. Which is nice and wonderful. And 94% of them became mothers who bore an average of 3 children. This was the only American generation whose college-educated women were more fertile than those who did not complete secondary school. Born mostly in the era of depression, the silent were the product of a birth rate increase. They later became the only American generation to have fewer members per cohort than both generations born just before it. And in economic terms, the silent generation life cycle became a straight line from the cashless childhood to the cusp of affluent elderhood. Also, they realized that the generational stuffings between a sandwich between the get it done GI and the more self-absorbed boomer generation. And well into their rising adulthood, they looked to the GIs for role models and pursued then what they looked to be a lifetime mission of refining and humanizing the GI-built world. And then they came into the 1960s and the silent found themselves grown up just as the world has gone teenage. Then we have the boomers. The boomers, their demographic, actually, their demographic was 42, I think, to 62. Main part of that from 1946 to 1957. Confidence, right? Sheer time changing bed sheets. No generation of American women can match the GIs for the intensity of the nurture that they provided. They're mostly boom children. Among boomer preschoolers had working mothers. 4 in 5 were cared for in their own homes. And then during the boomer youth, the GI sweeping advances against childhood illness. Well, I have some things to say about that. Anyway, within the boom, the sexual revolution came forth. right? The effort to avoid service in Vietnam, kind of figuring out why we were going to war and not having it make much sense anymore. I can understand. Only one boomer man in 16 ever saw combat among all the rest. They just started to realize what was going on at that point. And they also blamed Vietnam on being handled badly by GI leaders. They weren't loving the way that they handled that, which probably was the reason that a lot of them did not want to be part of that. But then many did. And we always, you know, we never talk about that. We never talk about the fact of how many actually did go in with that level of courage, because it does take courage. It does take courage, even when drafted, to take on the task, right? Being sent to a war that doesn't make sense or not, that soldier still showed up. And even knowing maybe a little bit that might not be what we should be doing at the time, or we were doing it for alternative reasons, still very kind of interesting, don't you think? Showing up. There were some that dodged. And if you can look at actually to a lot of your politicians in the boomer generation, a lot of which dodged. So the 13th generation was 1961 to 1981. 13ers feel that the world is gearing up to punish them down the road. This is my generation. Annals of high school seniors show that they came of age during this time, and they have low test scores, high rates of crime and suicide, substance abuse. We grew up in the 60s and the 70s, right? And we're perceived as the lost generation. An army of aging Bart Simpsons, possibly armed and dangerous. I don't think so. You can tell that two leftists sort of wrote this book, can't you? Older generations see them as frenetic. This is my generation. Physical, slippery. Like the music we listen to. Unknowable on the inside. I talked about we're the dumb generation. We were the product of schools being severely dumbed down. And what most boomers will say, and the GI generation, is that we need a good swift kick in the pants. Now, we say that about the youngers, don't we? The millennials. But I'll talk just a little bit more about this. I want to get your thoughts on this, though, most importantly. We do have a generational cycle. They did warn over and over again of the crisis of 2020 and having it last until 2027, and that this crisis would make or break the country, that it was going to be that severe of a crisis, much more so than the crises before. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show. The book is Generations of the American Future by Strauss and Howe. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Just talking about generations, where we land now, the level of fear that our country seems to absorb right now, given that the news media loves to give you high doses of fear. We live in the greatest country on earth, and I'm telling you, there's so much to fight for, and we need to be a generation that stands in that fight. And for some reason, so far, we aren't, and we need to be. So how do we get that courage? I also wanted to mention, too, balance of nature. If you find yourself taking a lot of supplements that are like lined up on the counter, we've all been there, make sure that you just go and take Balance of Nature. It's got everything in it. It's got all the antioxidants, all the things like turmeric. I mean, you name it, it's in this product. This and the fiber apple drink. You can't go wrong. It's got everything. And you'll do it for a much lower cost, too. So it's great. And you can put in the code KATE, get 35% off and free shipping. Go to balanceofnature.com. It's the only food supplement I take. My family takes. They absolutely love it. And I'm telling you, this would be the only thing I would do. Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature's got you covered. 31 fruits and vegetables a day. You'll love it. You'll just love it. And if you don't, you can send it back. My gosh, try it. See how much better you feel in about a week to 2 weeks. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Kate. I've enjoyed your monologue to this point.
Thanks.
I think it's fascinating. My father, who is still alive, is one of those World War II fellows who succeeded against all odds. And my only comment was that in those days, even in the mess that is California today, the business environment was actually pretty good. Taxes were low, regulations were non-existent, and these fellas, the harder they worked, the better they did. And so that's one reason that generation was able to produce and perform the way they did. Nowadays, you know, the harder you work, the more they take. So that's my opinion.
Thank you. I really appreciate your opinion. Thank you so much. That was really helpful. I really like it. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Kate, in the earlier generations, if you're, you know, in a group of people and somebody said, you're a liar, that got everybody's attention. Because there was probably going to be a fight.
Right.
And like in the Old West, if you heard that, you're a liar. Those six guns can come out instantly and you might have a killing.
Yeah.
The politicians, the news media, they lie to us and just walk away.
I know. You're right. You're right. There used to be a come to Jesus moment there, but not anymore. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. Really appreciate the thought. I wanted to expand, too, a little bit on the boomers. We probably have a lot of boomers listening, too. They declare the boomer generation a tribe with its roots in a time rather than in a place or race. Boomers recall that time in the 60s, a decade they remember more fondly than other generations. First real evidence that the GI optimism would be rewarded with victory and ended with the first election of a GI president, unlike the silent generation, you know, the early or that middle part. GI was the first in the beginning of the 1900s, and then silent, then boomers. And boomers lack the childhood recollection of World War II. But unlike 13ers, which I am, that's 60 to the 80s, they're all reaching adolescence or lingering in a post-adolescence before the Vietnam, you know, war drew close. And it talks about the fact that they don't really trust the 13ers. They don't trust us to save. They don't trust us to carry on the legacies, the traditions. They worry about our level of spirituality, just like they worried about their parents' level of spirituality. And they also worry about the fact that, are we really going to take seriously these things that we should value, which is true, right? What they find imperative. They don't want to see us drop the ball. And the GI has taught boomers some critical thinking. And so these generations keep going and going and going and going. And there's a boomer generation in the 1800s. There's also, you know, the generation I'm in. And they also talked about the fact that the 13ers, you know, I won't go into detail about the 13ers, but we're just not... No other child generation has witnessed, you know, we have just sort of been more or less one of their more lost latchkey children generations. Divorce hit us harder. We pay way more taxes and make the same, you know, we are not making very much money, but paying way more in taxes than they ever did. And by the way, this book was written in the 1990s. Then they have the millennial generation, which they describe as cute, cheerful, and scout-like. And completely babied. Not since the early 1900s have older generations moved so quickly to assert greater adult dominion over the world or childhood, to implant civic virtue in a new crop of youngsters. The birthdays there stretch all the way to the year 2000. You're talking about your 90s babies and your 80s babies or your millennials. And it said they're treated as precious, more precious than their parents. See, we're the ones that aren't liked, but more precious than their parents. It's true. That's true. It's the helicopter age of parenting. So they said we have a mood of an awakening, which is where we transition into more like a spiritual awakening, where focus on inner life grows to maximum intensity. Okay. Artistic culture is high. New social ideals, right? Then we have the mood of inner-driven eras, which is sort of where the awakening leaves off and satisfaction with personal spiritual life is a high. Individualism flourishes. Then you have the mood of the crisis era, which is what we're actually in now, again. And grim preoccupation with outer world peril grows to maximum intensity as spiritual curiosity declines. Aren't we there? We're there. And artistic culture avoids nuance, and worldly problems are no longer deferred, but are allowed to congeal into a struggle regarding personal sacrifice. Then we go into the mood of the outer-driven era, which will be right after this. And that is the sense of community reaches its cyclical peak. Individualists are ostracized, and social and cultural life tends toward friendly buy-in-ness, and the ideals that triumphed in the crisis are secularized and institutionalized. The emphasis is on planning, doing, and building. And so looking through the 18 generations, they can see that every generation makes at least some mark. And important, patterns are going to emerge. And of course, as they look through these, boomers, 13ers, which is me, millennials, which is some of my kids, millennials are just now beginning to build a generational drama that will continue to unwind for decades to come, because they all interact with each other, all the different generations. And then to date, this has been a cycle of relative peace and affluence mixed with growing individualism and a sense of political drift, institutional failure, a sense that the public world is spinning slowly out of control is normal for society moving from awakening to an inner-driven era. And then it talked about the crisis of 2020. They said it might not exactly arrive in the year 2020, but it won't arrive sooner or later by much. Boy, they nailed that one, didn't they? On history, on average, history tells us the crisis begins 62 years after the idealist's middle birth year, or 19 years after the midlife, millennials in rising adulthood, right? It peaks 5 to 10 years. At the peak of the crisis, the surviving silent will be in their mid-80s and beyond, the boomers in elderhood, 13s in midlife, millennials in rising adulthood. And then we have the new generation of adaptives in the youth. Boy, do we see that. What will precipitate this crisis of 2020, they wrote, clear back in the 90s? It could be anything, including incidents trumped by a generation of elderly warrior priests gripped with visions of moral triumph. The spark that catches fire may seem accidental, but with many past examples like the Boston Tea Party, they say, in Pearl Harbor, old idealists may have a hand in stirring events to maximum political effect. How significant will this crisis be? Glorious Revolution, American Revolution, Civil War, Great Depression? It'll be a major turning point in American history and an adrenaline-filled moment of trial. And Americans will feel the great fate of posterity for generations to come hangs in the balance. Rights and wrongs crisply defined and obeyed. Sacrifices will be asked and given. Boy, can you see that. And how will this crisis end? We can foresee a full range of possible outcomes from stirring achievement to apocalyptic tragedy. That is true. We are in charge of that, though, and we forget that. They might be able to nail down the cycles, but the problem is they can't nail down the exact outcome of what we'll do. And even a small group of people can change the world, as we saw in 56 Signers. It only took 56 people to change and have to change the world and have America come about. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, we were talking about generations. I, like yourself, am a Gen Xer. Mm-hmm. And, our parents generally were what they called tweeners. They were born between the wars.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were boomers who had children really
mm-hmm.
young.
Yeah.
My parents were tweeners.
Mm-hmm.
And or my mother was born during the war. But still, it's a unique generation that we were raised by, in the sense that there were either those of us who were raised by ultra-conservative parents
mm-hmm.
or by ultra-liberal parents.
You're right.
And we had to balance that in between, where the baby boomers and the millennials have parents who were basically raised in a set situation.
Right.
And that made us, I think, as Gen Xers, very flexible. Plus, we were the first to be indoctrinated by the liberal education system.
Mm-hmm.
We were the first ones who were basically pummeled by the media and other things in that way
yeah.
to to get a mindset into us. And I remember it distinctly, and it formulated as a child a whole sense of independence. I didn't want to be part of the crowd. Yeah, millennials want to be part of the crowd. They're much like the boomers. As much as they hate the boomers, they are exactly like them in so many ways. They were a coddled generation, just like the boomers were a coddled generation. Mm-hmm. They're a large group, just like the boomers were. They control media. They control all the sense of commerce, and everything is all marketing is all directed toward that group.
Yeah.
And I feel more of a connection with my parents, who were the tweeners who were forgotten.
Yeah, thank you. Really appreciate the thoughts. We can all kind of identify where we've been, and he's right about the kind of split. You're either raised ultra-conservative like I was, or you were raised by leftist hippies. So, you know, we had some different backgrounds there. And then divorce hit and abortion hit, and my generation, and of course Latchkey, which provided a different generation that then started helicoptering. Then we have the little adaptives that are coming along, and adaptives adapting to the situation. We have to make sure that we are fighting, that we are still standing up for this country. It isn't dependent on what cycle we're in or what generation we come from. If we have multiple generations stop fighting, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. That's a huge amount of time in which we're not fighting for our God-given rights. We have the greatest country on earth. We were given a gift that no one else was. Everybody that the 120 countries that tried to copy our Constitution didn't copy it verbatim. We're the only ones with the uniqueness that we have of our Constitution. It's being completely ignored right now. Look at the press. And look at the coddling going on. Airlines want to make sure that you fly without anxiety, and they're offering you mental help. We have to readdress courage, readdress our backbone. We have to talk to our kids and make sure they understand what courage means, and maybe do some things that have courage. Maybe you send them off to school without masks. Let them have a courageous moment. Who cares if they're expelled? Who cares? The courageous moment is way more important than being indoctrinated by the public school system. Show them what it looks like and feels like and is to have these moments of courage. And we need to set the example. If you're walking into a store with a mask on and you think it's ridiculous, take it off. Be truthful to yourself. Be honest with yourself. Don't let that happen, because your kids are watching you. Your grandkids are watching you. Set the example. Be the leader. Have the courage. Have the backbone. Do what it takes. And don't just go along. Because too many generations do this, we will lose this country. And by the way, this country made these generations flourish. Let's not forget. We've flourished a lot, but we haven't had to pay a price for it. Well, we're going to see what that looks like. We're going to have to start paying the price. And we're going to have to be individualists and set the example. We're just going to have to be. I'm going to move on. My next hour is with Alison Armstrong. That'll be a lot of fun, too. And just think about those generations. What did it take? What did it take? What did it give them to have those moments of courage? What did it give them personally? How did they gain from that? And then they went and taught their children, right? We need that again. I'll be right back. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com for all the podcasts, over 2 million on SoundCloud alone. Super exciting. Anyway, I'll be right back. If you don't get this hour on your local station, then, of course, get it on podcast. I'll be right back.